Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, May 5th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk about all of our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and anything else that just might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro.
Menapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Menapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Menapro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Menapro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Menapro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Thursday. We have a great show lined up for you today. Of course, everybody's looking forward to tomorrow being Fun Friday. But we got a good show lined up for you today. It may be a little bit of a shorter show today, but nonetheless, we still have a great guest that we're going to welcome here shortly. And I've got a wonderful stand-in co-host today that we'll introduce in a moment. And also, being it's Thursday, every Thursday is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. That's Critter-Cages.com. And we have an awesome prize to give away today. It is a really nice brooder kit, a real nice brand new. They just developed this. It's a brooder kit, and it values at about $45. And so we're going to be giving that away to one lucky listener here towards the end of the radio show. But without further ado, it is now time to introduce my temporary stand-in co-host who won the contest on our Facebook page, who is actually a regular guest on this show the third Tuesday of every month. And, of course, that would be Andrew Odom with TinyRevolution.us. Hey, Andrew, how you doing today?
Hey, how's it going?
It's a going. It's Cinco de Mayo, and yesterday we were talking about this, and I just couldn't figure out how come every year we celebrate a sinking Mexican ship full of mayonnaise. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. Every single year, it just we celebrate this ship that sank that was carrying loads of mayonnaise, and we celebrate that every single year. And I just don't get it. So, but hey, if it gives, if it gives some people a reason to go out and get drunk, then if they need a reason to do that, then more power to them. But it's just something that I've never, I don't go out and eat burritos today, and I don't go out and eat tacos, but I know some people use today to go out to their local Mexican pub and get hammered, and that's just not for me. But if it's what you want to do, folks, go right ahead, I guess. Just be careful out there and celebrate that sinking ship with all the mayo in it. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods up there?
Not too much. We are not celebrating Cinco de Mayo very much around here in rural North Carolina. In fact, we don't even have a Mexican restaurant. We all thought we would take a field trip to the Taco Bell, but that's not happening today. So we're just sitting here celebrating. We're celebrating the French side of Cinco de Mayo. In other words, we lost out, and so we're just going to pack up our toys and leave the sandbox. But you know what? Other than that, not a whole lot. I've been waiting around this week. We were hoping to have the electrician come by this week and get us on the grid, get our new land on the grid. And as always, pardon me for any electricians out there, but with all qualified electrical workers, he has not shown up yet. What turned out to be a Monday morning affair has now moved on to a Thursday afternoon sort of deal. And I feel a bit like a girl with braces on prom night, tell you the truth.
Oh, goodness gracious. So are they actually installing a pole and bringing you and wiring you up from the road?
We are. And I do hope that that the mayor and the city council of my little town here is not listening. But we're going to be hooked up with an agricultural permit because, you know, my chickens and my goats definitely need central heat and air during their seasonal times. So,
Of course.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I can't help it if somebody parks a tiny house on that land and happens to use that power. I'm just trying to look out for my my poultry and my livestock. So, we are going to have a pole put in, and as with all tiny house people, for those of you who are familiar with tiny house, you know, it's been all about just exploring the loopholes because, tell you the truth, there's not a whole lot of legislation on the books about how this all works out. So we are using an agricultural permit, which is not totally off base because it will actually for the first time provide power to any of our chicken coops, which is great. We've never been able to use a de-icer or anything like that because we've not had power. And so we're entering like the 21st century of backyard flocking now, and that's pretty exciting. And just being able to have lights so we can go out and check on the animals at night if we want to, that sort of thing. So that's going on, man. That's what's happening over in.
So what's the advantage of going with, say, the agricultural permit for the power company? What's the advantage there since it's so secret?
Well, the advantage is that because our if we went with a standard electrical permit, we would have to do all of the – as anyone that's read the blog, you know, we're using a composting toilet, and we're also going to be using leach pits for – biodegradable products that go out with great water, that sort of thing. So we're not going to have a standard septic system. We won't be tied to the sewage system or city water. We'll be doing a lot of things off-grid. So in order to be put on the electrical grid, we would then have to go through all of the traditional methods of building a house. We'd have to have the permits. We'd have to have a full septic system put in. We would have to be taxed and basically permitted the same way that you would a piece of land that you bought for subdivision or something.
Gotcha.
Because we don't intend to even stay on the grid longer than a year, this allows us to just have a temporary permit until we get to the point that we're off the grid with our solar power and are no longer, you know, requiring that sort of thing. Because we're already rural to begin with, you know, having to put a septic system in and get hooked up to the city water and that sort of stuff would be multiple thousands of dollars. And it's just not something we need. We have a well that's, you know, that runs just fine. So it really does. The advantage is that we don't have to classify ourselves like a standard sticks and bricks house.
Now, will you have a composting toilet in the tiny house? Is that the route you're going to take? Because I remember I asked you.
We are. We're going to use an incinerating compost toilet. Yeah.
Very cool. Because I knew that last time we talked, you had informed us that nowhere in America now can you legally have an outhouse.
That's right. You can have an outhouse, but you can't have a composting toilet.
Right.
For the simple fact that they are sold on the market and they're sold as waterless toilets. So we are going to have a composting toilet, and we're going to, you know, kind of go up a step and do the incinerating compost toilet so that all of the methane release and that sort of stuff is done within the unit and through an exhaust pipe. And then what we're left with will actually go to a soil deposit to sit there for about a month, 2 months, tilled in with the soil, and then used however we choose to use it.
Cool. Interesting.
And
okay.
So someone just asked real quick, someone says, so you're eventually going off the grid completely. Yes, I am going off the grid completely. And, you know, it's not an immediate process. I think anyone that goes into going off the grid, you know, right away is in for some big surprises because it's a very difficult thing to cut your life back to the point where you don't require a lot of electricity all the time, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know, you have to pare down your lifestyle before you can just make the switch. So the short answer is yes, we are.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's, yeah. And I can't imagine it's, I mean, going completely off the grid would be an awesome accomplishment. And but I can imagine it does come with some challenges.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Totally amazing. Very cool.
I'm looking on the board here, and I'm seeing all these people talking about salt and lime and going with their tequila and all that stuff. Come on, folks, who needs all that special stuff? Just drink the tequila. It's all going to have the same effect at the end of the day.
Nice. Very nice. Absolutely. Well, we do have a special guest co-host today. It's Andrew Odom, and he visit his website, folks. It's tinyrevolution.us, tinyrevolution.us, and he's on here the third Tuesday of every month sharing the good and the bad and the ugly about living a minimalist lifestyle. And I think one of your last posts that you had was had to do with medicine, living a minimalist lifestyle, dealing with medicine.
Yeah, it just came out today, in fact. It's called Minimalist Meds, how to take the tiny house approach to lowering your blood pressure. About this past weekend, I was kind of diagnosed with borderline blood pressure. And so I am not someone who wants to get hooked into, you know, taking a pill every day for the rest of my life. I'm not someone who wants to even have that threat. So my wife and I sat down and really talked about some things in our life and how we can make some changes and did some quick research and came up with a pretty good list of 10 things to do to lower your blood pressure without having to go on meds, which is, you know, as Americans, it's something we immediately think of. Well, let me get to the doctor and see if he can prescribe something for me. Well, I just talk about the fact that the prescription really is in your lifestyle. If you can change your lifestyle, you can stay off meds for a long time.
You mean that you don't want to take a drug that was approved by the FDA that may one day be recalled for killing people? Is that what you're saying? I love it.
If anything comes stamped with FDA, I'm suspect to begin with. Absolutely. You know, absolutely not. And one of the things about tiny living, and the reason I call it minimalist meds, is because, you know, one of the things that's happening is we're becoming a society that's dependent upon medication, which of course puts us dependent upon health care. And the more we're dependent upon a large health care system, then the more we're going to be, you know, in a bit of consumer slavery to whatever Congress decides to do with health care in the next 2 to 3 years. So if we can keep ourselves healthy and keep our lifestyles healthy to the point where, you know, we don't rely on blood centers and we don't rely on vitamins and, you know, for instance, the over-the-counter vitamin market, what a huge market. Look, I can tell you 10 foods off the top of my head that'll keep you away from that aisle in the grocery store almost completely.
Yep, absolutely. I was just, I shared this. I think it was 2 weeks ago on a Monday, you know, Jen, well, to back up, you may or may not have been listening, but in those of you who were, that's a little bit of repeat, but back before, while Jen was in school, getting her first degree to teach, we were married, I think maybe her last or senior year, maybe part of her junior, but I think it was her senior year. I've always been self-employed for the most part, at least for the last decade, and so I... once we got married, before she got her job with the school system, and then me for a few years before that, I paid out of pocket for our health care cost. And it ended up for just being for the both of us. Now, then, this was a decade ago, was somewhere around $500 a month. And sure, I would have loved to drive a nice new F-150 Ford four-wheel drive pickup truck with that $500 a month. But I chose to do the responsible thing and provide health care for us. So I wasn't going to fall in that trap. Oh, I can't afford health care while I drive a BMW around. So so I did that for a while. And then fortunately, the last 7 years, she's had insurance. And, of course, every year the benefits decrease and the premiums increase, it seems like. And it's crazy. And so and then we heard through the grapevine next year through her school system, which she'll no longer be with, it's just all they're going to be offering apparently is a health savings account. So it's and then of course she has, still has to pay what I would consider a pretty penny every month. The school system itself I think applies maybe $50 towards it every month, but the state does throw a chunk. So we were under the impression that, okay, you know what, she's applied for a new position, and we do hope she gets it. The extra money will help, but mainly the health insurance will be very beneficial. But if she doesn't, we're prepared for that. So she called and was getting information about COBRA. If she didn't get this job she's hoping for and just become stay-at-home mommy, and we go down to one income down on the little homestead, you know, what we were looking at to go for COBRA, I think he can be on COBRA, I think it's around 2 years. And so we assumed, which is always bad to do, it would be pretty much what we were paying now, plus whatever the county paid, which you can see that, which is about $50. And I'm like, okay. Well, it was a rude awakening when they told her that, well, yes, we pay $50, but the state education department pays a lot more than that for your health care. And so she got a number a couple of weeks ago that if she went on COBRA, I think she's covered until the end of August. If we decided to go on COBRA and continue what we had, I think for the next 2 years, it would be $1,300 a month. That's, of course, the family plan with Caleb on the way. Yeah, $1,300 a month. And so even at that point, I told all my listeners, I was like, you know, it would be easy for me to say, oh, you know what, I can't afford that. That sucks. You know, get on the dole, as they say. But, you know, I just started thinking in my mind, okay, what would I do as a responsible person that wants to support my family? You know, I could think, okay, goodbye Blackberries. That's going to save us, you know, $250 a month. You know, if I have to get rid of our newer car, say, okay, goodbye and get rid of that payment and just drive the old 83 Ford and the 96 Cherokee that are paid for, okay, I'll do that. And see what other things I could eliminate to help pay for this health care for my family, because it irritates me to no end that, you know, these folks that have the Coach purses and the BMWs, brand new, mind you, $200 sunglasses, Blackberries, and then they say, oh, I can't afford health care, it's too expensive. That irritates me to no end, and so I'm not doing my best, of course, whatever, we don't know what the future holds, not to fall into that trap. And so, and other folks say, you know, why should I have to pay the health care of somebody who, you know, drinks like a, you know, like, you know, and has liver problems? Why should I have to pay the health insurance for someone who skydives? Why should I have to pay insurance for someone who smokes crack all the time and goes to the hospital every time they get high? But, nonetheless, it was $1,300 a month, and because I know I always hear, oh, I can't afford health insurance. Oh, yeah, well, that's a pretty nice BMW you're driving there. So it's interesting. So we'll see what comes around the corner here. We may fall into that that trap to see, you know, but we're going to do what we can to you know, make sure we have health care coverage, and it may or may not work, and it may or may not be affordable. We again, she outlook is good that she'll get this other job, but. You're right, the health insurance, I wanted to share that since you were talking about that. So it was pretty, and even the ones online I found searching, it was like, you know, $5,000 deductible, $10,000 deductible. They had some with like a $1,500 deductible, and then 2080, and it was still seven, you know, anywhere from about $500 to $1,300 a month. Based on the coverage, if you wanted to have the doctor visit at $35, then it increases, and versus just the major medical. But it was pretty crazy. So it kind of a little rude awakening there. So Yeah, and someone was saying some people, you know, me and Jen were talking the other day. We were like, you know, it's amazing. I just don't, you know. Folks making minimum wage $10, $12, $15 an hour, and then now gas is $4 a gallon. If they don't have health care through work, you're looking at $500, $600, $700 a month for health care. I mean, it's getting grim here in the U.S. It really is getting grim. So that's why your show should be very important and should wake people up. And, of course, our show regarding all the tips and the guests that we have on to share their experiences about how to save money here, save money there, prepare this. We, for the first time ever, we made our own laundry detergent this past week. And talk about a huge savings. I mean, we always bought the no-name stuff or the cheap, you know, Publix brand for, you know, $3.49 for a little jug. And, we didn't get into this Tide powders for $14.95 a box or, you know, $17.99 a box. We were paying the cheap stuff anyway. But when Jen said, hey, all we need is this box of Borax borax in this box of Arm & Hammer, or whatever it's called, and a bar of soap, and it makes 10 gallons of washing detergent. You know, I was all over that. I said, let's do it. And it's all natural, and it doesn't have all the chemicals in it.
Yeah, and we do that as well. And one of the things we do is we just, when we're making it, we just have a little bit of that lavender oil that we purchased online from a friend, and we put just a couple drops of lavender oil in it, and it smells just the same as the mess you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely, it's pretty crazy. So we'll,
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right, Andy. It is, it's grim. It's grim. It gets grim, and that ties back into, you know, one of my tips for, which the blog post we were talking about is on Farmer's Almanac today. It's not on Tiny Revolution. It's on Farmer's Almanac.
Okay.
But one of those tips is probably one that most people don't really think about, but I'm finding out is one of my biggest defenses. And that's give yourself, you know, one or two times a day to really just take a second to breathe. Take 5, 6, 7 minutes and just turn all the distractions off, you know, sit in the middle of the floor or sit on your favorite chair or whatever, close your eyes and just breathe. Just remind yourself that, and I'm guilty of this. I'm probably most guilty of anybody. Just remind yourself of all the wonderful things that we have in life and all the blessings we do have and be able to just breathe through it all and know that no matter how grim it gets or no matter how frustrating it gets, you know, it's as of this moment, it's not the end of the world. And that can do tremendous things for your health. It's just not allowing your mind or your body to carry that anxiety every second of the day, just being able to let some of that go. And if you do that, man, it really will start to do some good things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking up here on the board, and I'm seeing some folks saying, you know, talking about I need health care, or you know, I understand people needing health care, that sort of thing. Look, there's no argument. You know, in our society, everyone needs health care. You know, to some degree. We're all going to have something where we need to go to the doctor. And unfortunately, we don't have small-town practitioners anymore where we can go and set up an account just with the doctor. You know, they have to answer to government regulations and that sort of stuff. So, you know, the trick of the matter is just always be, I know I am with our policy, I'm always very, very cautious about making sure that when bills come in or something that I check them. And I'll call the insurance company. I'll say, hey, you know, we haven't gone to the doctor in X amount of time. Is there anything you can do on our premium? Can it be lowered? I'm pretty militant about that because, you know, if you're not careful, man, you'll find out, just as Jen did, you'll find out that every year instead of rewarding you for not pulling money out of the till, they stick you so that you can pay for the people that just abuse the system. And, you know, it's one of those situations. I have a mother-in-law that has been a lifelong smoker, and, you know, we have here in rural North Carolina, of course, we have that issue with a lot of older people. And, you know, I've said to these folks on multiple times, it really stinks that I have to work so hard to pay for you to suck on that cancer stick all day long. And I apologize to anyone on the board, you know, that is a smoker. You know, that's totally your decision. You're an adult. You have that decision to make. My take on the matter is, though, that, you know, if you choose to make that decision, you are also choosing to pay for it yourself. You should not have the option to have everybody else foot the bill for your choices. You know, we chose to start a family. I'm not asking anybody to help us pay for it. I'm not asking anybody to foot the bill or to give us a bed at the hospital or to do anything outside of just be happy for us. That's it. Mm-hmm. So we all need to, I think what it boils down to is accountability. I think we all need to be more accountable for our decisions. And when we choose to live a non-healthy lifestyle, we are not taking accountability, plain and simple. And I'm
going to
step down off my soapbox now.
No, I can agree with that. We'll go to break here in a minute and bring our guest on today. I'm really excited about which can be beneficial to all of our listeners today. The website that he's going to talk about that he founded is going to be great. But, you know, I agree. I've told many of my family and my friends that that, you know, if I all of a sudden just keel over dead from a massive heart attack, don't feel sorry for me, because I made those choices for about the first 30 years of my life. And some choices I didn't make based on what was put in front of me growing up, and the way that, oh, you did a good job, here's a cookie. So you know, up until I could make those conscious choices and was buying my own food, you know, for the first 30 years, and definitely even through college, my diet was horrible. So that's my fault. I blame myself. If I keel over of a heart attack, you know, hey, Andy made some bad health choices and eating choices, and he got himself into this predicament. You know, hey, sucks for me. But, you know, if it's one of those things that I just had a really close friend, his son-in-law, just passed away from lung cancer. Never smoked a day in his life. And great, great human being. No dip, no nothing. And just came out of nowhere. Nobody knows how he got it. You know, hey, that's a sad situation. But again, in my case, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I probably should exercise more. I have a healthy diet now, and I have really since at least, you know, since I probably married Jen in the last decade. But before then, it was horrible. So, I you know, it's kind of like, you know, you made your bed, now sleep in it type of issue. And I've told people many, many times that, you know, it's completely my fault and my responsibility. I saw some report today on the news of Good Morning America or something about the high cost of, you know, the billions and billions of dollars that obesity is costing and will cost this country if we don't get it under control. And that's you and me and everybody else that it's going to cost. So I do have that issue of practice what you preach. I do feel like, okay, I don't want anybody else paying for my fat butt because I made poor cheap decisions for the first 30 years. And,
yeah.
You know, I've lost 60 pounds probably in the last, God, when did I lose all that weight? But I lost 60 pounds, and I'm at that plateau to where, you know, the only thing that's going to get me further is just plain out gym and exercise. My diet is where it should be, but I've got exercise more. I'm at that plateau where diet and it's done is what it's going to do. So, but yeah, I'm right there with you as far as that philosophy too. So, hey, we'll be able to solve all the world's problems here if we on the radio.
Absolutely, stick with us, and we'll have them all solved for sure. But I'm as excited as you are about finding out more about what I'm calling social media for egg droppers. This is incredible. I want to hear all about this.
Yeah, it was the Eggsy you were talking about, Eggsy.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking about starting my girls up on this thing soon.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I'm really looking forward to it. And what a great, I mean, it's just a great idea that, you know, for anybody, somebody who chooses not to have backyard chickens but wants to have those eggs and wants to, yeah, I think it's great. So, yeah, let's go to commercial break. It's about half past the hour anyway. And when we come back, we are going to welcome the founder of Eggsy.net, Mark Thompson will be our guest today. So stay tuned, folks. It's going to be you're not going to miss it. You're going to learn all about this. In fact, I'm going to have him walk through and teach us. So since people are listening online, I want to have him walk through and teach us how to join up and how to participate, because we did have some post on our Facebook that said, I've been there, I tried to do it, it was hard, I didn't understand it. I had one person, Mark, on, you know, come on and say, you know, well, I called them and they walked me through it. So maybe we can have Mark actually, everybody can go to the website and he can walk us through that, and we can all kind of sign up if you choose to. So that's kind of the game plan, if we can do that for us today. So, all righty, folks, we will be back shortly after this short break, so stay with us.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Pat is not with us today. She had some last-minute business to take care of, but she will be joining us back tomorrow. So when that happens, if we have time, we normally have a co-host for the day contest on our Facebook page, and based on whoever happens to be watching or listening, we'll have a few people that will say, yeah, I'd like to do that, and lo and behold, our good friend Andrew Odom sounded in on the contest, and boy, he posted a post that just we know couldn't be beat. And so our co-host today is Andrew Odom, and he joined us really on a regular basis the third Tuesday of every month. Visit his website, tinyrevolution.us. And our special guest today, we've been trying to line this up for quite a while. Most of the time I end up having to cancel because this, that, or the other, but we finally got through, and we finally are very proud to welcome Mark Thompson, who is the founder of Eggzy.net, EGGZY.net, Eggzy.net. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eddie. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. I'm not sure exactly how I found out about your website. I may have seen it on a Facebook post and then went over there and thought, wow, this is really neat, and we've got to have them on the show. So if you would, because I know lots of people now are going to the website, if you would, tell us about kind of your background and how you got the idea of creating the website Eggzy.net and how it really works.
Sure. Well, I'm actually a software developer by trade, and several years ago, my wife and I moved down from Brooklyn. We're originally from Brooklyn, moved down to New Hope, Pennsylvania, which is a little more rural.
Gotta throw the flag. I came from Brooklyn, too. What part of Brooklyn?
Park Slope. Sorry, go ahead.
I straddled the line on Bushwick and Bed-Stuy. I was one of the dangerous ones.
Well, Charlene was born, believe it or not, in Belize. That's my wife, and she's also my partner on with Eggsy. And she moved up to Brooklyn with her family when she was about 3 years old. I'm originally from Detroit, but then moved to New York City to go to graduate school, and that's where she and I met. And so when we got married and started having a family, we moved to Park Slope, Brooklyn. And before coming down here, she'd never been outside of the city. So this was a New Hope, Pennsylvania. It's a little more rural, and so this is a new experience for her. But one of the things about this area is that there's some great fairs, and there's a fair that is my favorite called the Grange Fair, and they show 4-H, their 4-H animal presentations, and 1 year, probably about 5 years ago, we were at this fair walking through the chicken display, and my daughter, who was probably two or three at the time, sort of caught the eye of one of the chickens. The chicken balked at her. She balked back at it. And from that moment on, we knew we had to get some chickens. So we went to Ideal, heard the ad for Ideal, ordered some chickens online. They came in the mail, healthy and happy. And we're in our fourth year now keeping chickens. So, but, you know, again, back to my background as a software developer, I'm not very good at keeping records on paper or even with spreadsheets, so I like to make things as automatic as possible. And so I built a database for myself so that every day when I would go out and collect the eggs, I could come in and just pull down a menu and select how many eggs I collected that day from which breed, and it would automatically tally it up for me. So I had been using this for, 6 months or so, and it was pretty convenient. And then my wife started communicating with some of our friends, because we pretty quickly got to the point where we had more eggs than we could actually eat ourselves in any given week. And I'm sure this is everybody's had this experience listening to the show. But the question was what to do with them. And so she asked if there's some way that we could sort of either plug this database into Twitter or into an email system so that we could notify our friends when we had extra eggs available. So that's sort of where Eggsy comes from, is this initial need to or desire to be able to sort of automate some of the accounting of managing the flock. And then secondly, having sort of a communication channel by which we can communicate to our friends and neighbors the availability of eggs. And so we basically started working from there, putting a little bit of a face on it, and it's been up since about October. It's still what we call a beta website, where it's there's still kinks in it, and there's two kinds of beta. There's closed beta, which means you have to request to be invited to to try it out, and then there's open, and we sort of straddle the fence on that, in that you can sign up for free. You don't have to ask or anything like that to Eggsy, but to get the flock tools, you have to, when you first join, there's your profile page, and there's a little message at the bottom that says you can go and look at the egg stands to find flocks near you, or you can request flock tools. If you click on the request flock tools link, it will notify me that you're looking for flock tools and send me some information about you, including your zip code, so that I can sort of monitor, how heavy the system is being used, et cetera, et cetera. And right now we're up to a little, just around 150 flocks. And so from there, it's basically two types of users. So the objective of the site, again, is to allow local small or backyard flock keepers to create an egg stand, an online egg stand, where you can, you know, put up pictures, a description of your flock, and if you sell or give away your eggs, you can allow people to subscribe to your egg stand. And basically what that means is that people will be on a list where you can press a button that will notify those people if you've got eggs available. It sounds a little complicated, and right now the user interface is still being tweaked, but the basically what we're trying to do is to make that as simple as possible, and so we welcome any suggestions that anybody has, or if anybody, to Andy's point, is having any trouble, definitely feel free to contact me. There's a feedback, big red feedback button on the right-hand corner of every page that you can hit, or there's also on the contact page, there's an email address there where you can contact me, and I'm perfectly happy to help anybody and everybody, you know, get settled and get their flocks set up and running. So, you know, that's the basic gist of it. The overall idea is that, you know, we want people to be able to communicate the availability of their eggs and sort of create a face-to-face marketing venue, if you will, online. You know, we're very adamant about, for our own family, shopping local. We want to, you know, give as much business as we can to people who are producing food locally. It was also important to us to make sure that our kids, you know, get to see what food likes before it's packaged, and sort of reacquaint them with where food comes from. And so that's basically what Eggsy is about, to try to, re-engage, consumers with the source of where the food actually comes from.
Awesome.
Is there, go ahead, Andy.
There was a question there from Tater Farm. How secure is the personal information?
The personal information is very secure. I don't know. I don't even know your users' passwords. They're encrypted. The information isn't being encrypted when it's uploaded in terms of your counts. But in terms of your personal information, it's very secure. The passwords are encrypted. In the database, users are kept separate, so nobody has access to anybody else's information. We take privacy also very, very seriously. This is my wife and I are very concerned about privacy, and so how the subscriber. This is actually one of the issues that we're trying to work through, is the relationship between subscribers and flocks, or flock owners, and how to, you know, keep some level of privacy between the two. And so basically how that mechanism works is when, as a flock owner, you have your egg stand up. If somebody comes and wants to subscribe to your egg stand, they have to click on a button that says subscribe. And then that will send a message through our system to the flock owner, and then the flock owner needs to accept that, or they can reject or ignore that subscription request. And basically, that keeps a level of of privacy engaged. And so there's no emails exchanged. The subscriber doesn't know the flock owner's email address, and the flock owner doesn't know the subscriber's email address. Once the flock owner accepts that subscription request, then it basically unlocks an additional field on the egg stand called pickup and delivery information. And so in that field, then, the flock owner can put additional contact information, an address or a phone number or an email, where subscribers can get in touch with them regarding picking up the eggs. So the idea is that basically flock owners and subscribers would know each other or have some previous knowledge of each other before before they established the relationship. It's really very focused on sort of what we call hyper-local, in that, it's a neighborhood thing, and that we want to enable a convenience between, again, backyard flock keepers, primarily, or very small-scale producers, with people they know, their neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, one question here. One in the chat room is asking, where do we find the flock tools? Where do we find the flock tools?
Once you've signed up, once you've joined, and then requested the flock tools, there should be a little pop-up message that says that once you've clicked on that request flock tools link, a little pop-up message should say that you've requested flock tools, that we're receiving your request. And then it usually takes between 10 and 15 minutes. I basically get an email then once you request flock tools, and then I go in and manually enable them. It's a one-click fulfillment on my part, but sometimes there's a little bit of a delay between the time you click the request link and the time that I receive the email. And then once I enable the tools, then generally you have to log out and then log back in to refresh your profile. But there should be an additional menu item on your hub page or your profile page that says Manage Flock. So when you first sign up, there's two menu items. One says Messages. The other says User Settings. Once you've received your flock tools, once they've been enabled for you, you should see three menu items. You should see Messages, Manage Flock, and User Settings. And then if you click into Manage Flock, then there's a whole array of additional tools available to you there, including a statistics page, which basically has a chart of your last 30 days of production, your eggs per week statistic. If you've put in your expenses, your average monthly expenses, then Eggsy will automatically calculate your cost per dozen, which is sort of a break-even point. And then so that helps you with if you're selling your eggs, with pricing decisions, things along those lines. Okay. So, and then there's a tab for managing your chickens and a tab for managing your eggs. And then another tab for flock settings, which is where you configure your egg stand, inputting information like the flock name, a description. You can change the profile image. You can put in your pickup and delivery information. It also supports, if you've got a Flickr account where you keep photos of your flock, you can create a set in Flickr, a Flickr set, and then put that Flickr set number, and it'll automatically pull in the photos from Flickr and show them on your egg stand.
I met a participant now, the Dewdrop Farm and Poultry, and they do have their
mm-hmm.
their main picture, and then it says, I have two separate flocks at this time. One flock is Sex
right.
Links and Barred Rock. Second flock is Americanas. What they're fed, and they get plenty of outdoor time to look for worms and bugs, and they're all healthy, and we're vaccinated for Merrick when babies, and explains the flock, how many hens they have, roughly how many eggs they get per week, how many subscribers they have to their specific coop. And then they do have, someone asked, could they post photos of their flocks, and yeah, I see plenty of photos here at their website of their different chickens, and I guess you can put your coop so people can see the surroundings and where their eggs are coming from, and I guess they come right out to the place to pick up the eggs, and then they guess can get on our routine. Oh, I'll be here every week to pick them up. Now, one question was in the chat room, and I haven't looked at a lot of the participants, but I'm guessing the majority of the folks that participate in Eggsy.net is they're looking to sell eggs for consumption, and people are looking to buy fresh eggs for consumption for their family, baking, eating, scrambling, what have you. But someone mentioned in the chat room, do you have anybody that's actually selling eggs specifically for hatching and hatching eggs on your site?
That's a great question, and that's something that we're actually looking to enable soon, and it's what we're calling breeders or suppliers. And basically what we're going to be enabling is it's sort of an additional set of tools that you can request, and it may be, you know, an upgrade, a service upgrade. We're not exactly sure on that yet. But basically, on the site, we have some breed pages. So if you go to the bottom of the footer there, there's a link to breeds.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it has a list of all the different breeds that we have in the system currently. And the breeds that we have in the system are driven largely by the subscribers. There's a lot of breeds out there, so we've only actually gathered information for those that either we keep or that other flock owners up until now have requested that we put into the system. So basically, when we enable these supplier accounts, people who are selling either hatching eggs or day-old chicks or started birds will be able to basically select which breeds they keep, and then will automatically get a link to their either egg stand or if they have another website on the specific breed page. And so it basically allows other flock owners, if they're looking for those types of things, to go look into the breed pages and find smaller scale producers. Again, the idea is that, you know, we want to establish strength in terms of the local economy with respect to backyard chicken keeping, and so that whether that's consuming for eating or that's establishing, you know, particular strains of breeds that are really good for a particular location, that's something that we're very interested in doing. So I would guess that's probably a couple of months. Within 2 months or so, we hope to have that running.
Okay, and another question, and I'm there, and I haven't signed up yet, but is there an easy way, this was a question in the chat room, is there an easy way to find, say, a particular dealer, I guess, if you will, near you instead of having to go through the mall? Is there a way to put in their zip code, and then it throws out so many within a mile radius or so many mile radius of where they're looking for?
Right. That's something where there's been a lot of requests for that, and that's something that we're currently working on. We hope to have a better implementation for searching by area, you know, within a couple of weeks. But right now, what you can do is if you go to the egg stands, there's it's a table, and at the top of that table there's some headings. And so on the top right, it says zip code. If you actually click on that, it will sort by zip code. So if you know what your zip code is, it'll help. It's not quite as quick as being able to type in your zip code and having it come in within a 10-mile or 25-mile radius. But we will be implementing that very soon, and we'll also be implementing a more ergonomic, if you will, map navigation scheme as well. So, that's something that we're addressing. But in the short run, if you want to sort by zip code, which can help, you can click on the link at the top of the egg stand that says zip code, and it will sort in ascending or descending order. If you click once, it sorts by ascending. Click again, it'll sort it by descending.
I have a couple of questions I want to throw out there. First of all, it's for a website that's in beta version, it really has a nice, pleasant look to it. I like the for lack of better words, the quote-unquote Web 2.0 appearance of it. I mean, it just really comes off as very professional, and that's really important for simple living, for homesteading, for sustainable living sort of people. It's very important because a lot of times, you know, we get companies that come out with these sites and they look very backwoodsy, and it's hard to take what we're talking about seriously if you don't have that professional look. So I do want to congratulate on that. It looks very nice. It functions very well, you know, with the social media icons to the right. Everything makes a lot of sense from the get-go.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to ask you this, though. Are there any intentions to either expand Eggsy or to work in partnership with someone else to create something like a forum, like something you would see on backyardchickens.com or something like that, where you know people who maintain profiles, that sort of thing, they can post questions, ask questions, answer questions, that sort of thing? Because, you know, I do see some in one of your blog posts, you put up a couple of suggestions, things as simple as if you're selling your eggs, you know, never reuse a carton, always use a fresh carton. I know a lot of times people ask me questions, well, if you sell eggs, do you have to be licensed by the government, or are there any protocols or something like that? So I can see where a forum would come into play, especially a moderated forum. Do you have any plans for that, or what exactly are you thinking in those lines?
That's a great question. We're not... Our objective isn't to backyardchickens.com is a great site. I use it myself, and we're not going that route. They do that so well that we don't feel like we would be able to add any real benefit, you know, anything above and beyond what they're doing. However, our focus being transactional, in that we want to be able to become a marketplace, if you will, connecting backyard chicken keepers with people looking for, you know, local fresh eggs, as well as people looking for local hatching eggs or day-old chicks. There's some frequently asked questions, as you referred to. So we're definitely continuously expanding our frequently asked questions. The help for using Eggsy itself is continually being refined, and we may at some point grow the help section to be more sort of a forum, so that, you know, people can ask questions with respect to how to use it. With respect to regulations and things along those lines, that's a real tough one for us to become sort of an authority on, per se. What we feel like we can do is become a facilitator, in that, being in Pennsylvania, we have a set of regulations. There are federal regulations, there are state, there are local regulations. We know ours really well, and we know Pennsylvania's really well. Every state is a little different, so we want to sort of make sure that people check with their local authorities. And so whether we ultimately end up having a listing, and this actually is something we may well do, is have a listing based upon your location as to the relevant authorities that you should, you know, be aware of and check with regarding specifics for your location. So in answer to the question with respect to forum, certain aspects in terms of help with Eggsy, absolutely yes. Other things in terms of, how to raise chickens specifically, or what are the regulations in my specific area, I don't know that we would be able to, accommodate everybody, as well as there, some other sources might be able to do that. So primarily our focus is going to be on creating a platform upon which backyard chicken keepers can automate much of the accounting for their flocks, and that's, you know, keeping track of your birds, keeping keeping track of your eggs, automatically counting, you know, charting and being able to download a history of your egg laying, automatically calculating your cost per dozen, pricing decisions, things along those lines, and giving you a tool set by which you can then reach out to your neighbors in order to either share or sell your eggs. That's what we're going to focus on. In terms of the more informational stuff, you know, as it is really specific to Eggsy, we'll probably have that. As it's more general, you know, we'll defer to the people who are doing that really well, like backyardchickens.com and of course the you know, the local authorities with respect to regulatory issues.
Sure, sure. Okay, let me ask, and my only other question was, are you familiar with the website yelp.com?
Yes, I am. I've seen that. I don't use it a lot, but I've definitely turned up searches on that.
Yeah. The reason I ask you is because I think Eggsy has the potential to be a really cool sort of, you know, a restaurant will put a sticker in their window or something that says as seen on Yelp.com or as reviewed on Yelp.com. I think Eggsy has the potential to kind of be one of those things where folks can, you know, if they're selling at the farmer's market or they got a stand set up or something, they can say, hey, as, you know, as seen on Eggsy.net, you know, with and then, you know, kind of gives a lens of validity to what they're doing, because then folks can get on and look at, you know, information about their flocks. So, you know, I think it's got a lot of momentum. I think it's really cool. I haven't yet decided if I'm gonna sign all of my flocks up or maybe just make a little test. Do a little test flock, if you will, and see how it works out. But I'm really excited about it. I think it's a good opportunity to link some folks together. It's, as I was saying earlier before we started the show, it's like social media for your birds.
Right. That's great. Well, thanks. That's I think that we're hopeful that we'll, you know, be able to grow to the point where, you know, we can sort of have that level of engagement. One thing along those lines that we are going to be putting out very shortly is, I don't know if you all are familiar with these things called QR codes. They're sort of like barcodes, a very small square barcode. But basically, we're going to be putting up, we have a little section once you've gotten your flock tools called badges, which are basically things that you can put on your blog or your website that link to your egg stand. We're going to be adding to that QR code, which is basically an image that has embedded in it the link to your egg stand. And so what we're testing here at our house right now is on the packed on date sticker that we put on our cartons, we're basically printing out this QR code onto, you know, the little stickers and then stamping the packed on date on there. So that with a smartphone, there are freely downloadable QR code readers, and you can scan that and it pop and takes you right to your egg stand. So this is part of what we're trying to facilitate is sort of this traceability mechanism, make it really easy for people to, you know, if you sell a carton to your neighbor and they run out, you know, they can just basically scan that carton and go right to your egg stand to see if you've got more available, and then email you right then and there saying, I'm coming over to get some more eggs. So it's a way of, you know, basically connecting the physical part of, you know, the egg carton to the website, and so that I think might go some way towards what you're talking about, but that's a great idea. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being with us today and telling all of our listeners all about your website. Hopefully, they'll take advantage of that. I think it's an awesome idea, and it can bring lots of folks together and really serve a purpose out there for people who who want to spend their money locally, that want truly fresh eggs and still instead of the ones in the grocery store, even if they do buy organic or free range, we all know kind of what that means in the grocery store. So how awesome is that? So, folks, we've been talking with the founder of Eggzy.net, Eggzy.net, and go check them out and sign up. And you can either be a participant to sell your eggs, or maybe you don't have chickens yet. Maybe you haven't gone that route, but you would like to one day, but you do want those fresh eggs. That's a great, great resource there. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Andy. And Andy, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, it's time for our chicken trivia contest. Got a neat one for you today. Our chicken trivia contest. We've got a great prize from critter-cages.com. It is a brooder kit valued at about $45, and it's shipped directly to your front door if you know the answer to our trivia question. So stay tuned. Do you feel lucky? We'll find out when we come back.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manapro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manapro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Buck, 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 buck,
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I was giving Kara a hard time in the chat room there for a minute. So, all righty. What a great episode. We learned a lot about eggsy.net. Hope you can participate in that. And I'll be honest, I hadn't actually heard about it until I saw somebody else post it. So always good to spread the chicken love around the country with really cool things like that lots of people can benefit from. And, of course, my wonderful co-host today, sitting in for Pat, is Andrew Odom. And visit all of his great stuff online at tinyrevolution.us. And he'll be back here in a few weeks to tell us the good and the bad, the ugly with living that minimalist lifestyle. And at least it looks like you're, for the next week or so, you're going to have some good weather up there. The storms look like they've kind of moved on off, and we're in about a 7 to 10 day nice weather pattern here.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's supposed to be in the 70s or so for the next few days. I don't know if we're going to get back into the 80s, but definitely the 70s. And it couldn't come at a nicer time because we have a lot on our plates for the next few days. The rainy weather that we had there for about a week really kind of put us behind our schedule, our unwritten schedule, if you will. So it'll be nice. The plants have done really well, though. All of all the gardens are looking good, and that's always exciting. And so we're looking forward to the next few weeks, which, you know, good weather and getting stuff done always brings about some really really good blog posts and some good stories to tell.
Awesome. Very good. Very good. And thank you for joining us. And, okay, so we're going to wrap the show up here with some chicken trivia. And the way this works is we're going to pick a caller, and then if you know the answer to the question or want to try, then give us a call. And then you just might win that awesome brooder kit from critter-cages.com, which sponsors every Thursday show. And it's a really great prize, valued at about $45 plus shipping. And lots of people in the chat room are saying, hey, I need that, I need that, I really need that. Well, maybe you can be the right caller. So if the right caller doesn't know the answer, say caller 10, then we go to caller 11 and then caller 12 and so on and so on. So the question today is, let me give you the number to call in as well, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Last time I checked, we have a phone bank of about 50 lines, 50, 50 lines. Sometimes it goes above that, but so you may be able to call in. You may be caller number one. You may be caller number 50. But either way, if you're caller number 12, if you know the answer to this following question. Okay, caller number 12. There was a headless chicken many, many years ago that actually lived for about 2 years. In fact, this headless chicken was born in April 1945 and lived until March of 1947. And very famous headless chicken. Tell me the name of this headless chicken. Caller number 12, 347-637-3237. It's a famous headless chicken that actually lived from 1945 to 1947. He also had a little nickname. You might be able to even tell me the breed of this chicken. But it was real, and it was famous, and very interesting story. In fact, a particular city actually has an annual festival about this headless chicken, and that lived for 2 years with no head. No kidding, it's a true story. You can look it up right now. I've done some research on it. So what was this famous headless chicken's name that was lived from about April 1945 to March 1947? 347-637-3237. Call number 12. And so now what's happening is people over at the Google headquarters, people at Google headquarters are like, how come everybody's searching about a headless chicken? absolutely love it. Now they just kind of probably think about whenever they get these search engines going around during our radio show, they just probably just shake their head back and forth. So caller number 12-347-637-3237. Don't forget, tomorrow is another great episode of Fun Friday. As always, we have about a dozen prizes to give away, and that'll be tomorrow. Pat will be joining us, I think, again tomorrow, and then we have take a break for Saturday and Sunday. We will be back on Monday. Also want to remind you that the Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest is still going strong. You have until next Friday the 13th at midnight to nominate a local public or private school to win this awesome grand prize package. I mean, they get hatching eggs, they get an incubator, they get a brooder kit, they get a coop. They're getting several books. It's a great, huge prize package. And if you want to nominate a local school, public or private, send us an email to send that email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And then you got to give us the school's name, the school's address, the school's phone number, the school's principal name, your information, since you nominated them, so we can contact you if need be, and then a little paragraph of why they deserve to win. And we hope to find schools that are already showing a determination to have a sustainable campus. Do they have a healthy school lunch program? Do they have compost bins? Do they have a recycling program? Do they have raised bed gardens, and how do they use that? Are they already hatching out baby chicks every year but need a coop so they can keep them on site instead of having to give them away? So, but yeah, contest@chickenwhisperer.net, Chicken Coops for Classrooms. This is the second one we've done. We hope to do three a year, a fall, a winter, and a spring with our sponsors, and what a cool contest that is. But alrighty, today, what is the name of the famous headless chicken that lived between April 1945 and March 1947? We're looking for the famous headless chicken's name. We're going to go to caller number 12. Caller number 12, you're live on the air with Andy and Andrew, calling in from area code 214. Area code 214, if you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Dave calling from Texas.
Dave from Texas. Congratulations for being the right caller. Now, let's see if Dave has the correct answer. What was the name of the famous headless chicken that lived from 1945 to 1947?
Oh, I think that would be Mike the Headless Chicken.
Mike the Headless Chicken, also known as Miracle Mike. Miracle Mike. And it was a Wyandotte. It was a Wyandotte. It was a male. It was a rooster. And born in Fruta, Colorado, and died in Phoenix, Arizona. And the owner was Lloyd Olson. And, lived for a good long while, being headless. And he even made, it says here that the chicken earned about $4,500 a month, or $48,000. That would have been $48,000 in 2010 dollars. So Mike was making some big money for his owner, let me tell you, if he earned that kind of cash flow. So truly, truly amazing. So, congratulations. Just send us over an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, and a name, shipping address, and phone number. We'll get that brooder out to you from critter-cages.com. And Andrew, as always, oh, let me see, where'd he go? I don't see him. Maybe we got disconnected from Andrew. Maybe he had an important business call that he had to take. I don't see him on the switchboard anymore. But I want to say thank you to Andrew Odom for co-hosting today's radio show with tinyrevolution.us. Tinyrevolution.us. Check him out. Lots of valuable information. And he'll be here the third Tuesday, of course, of every month. And we want to thank you all in the chat room for hanging in there with us today. We appreciate you. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for another great episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It will be Fun Friday. And, of course, on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Pat Forman, may the flock be with you all. God bless everybody.
Thank you.